So we'll get to that in about a half an hour. Here is Gregor Chisholm of the Toronto Star. The Jays are at Fenway for four starting tonight. What's happening, Gregor?
Not much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thank you for doing this. Biggio is back, and I think this was to be expected. So Cavan will play third tonight, which has not gone over so well. Like, before he got injured, they were shifting him around a lot because I'm not sure how comfortable they were with him playing at third. I think it's the right move to bring him back and try to reestablish that. How do you feel about that decision?
Yeah, no, I think they need to keep him at third base for now. I mean, this isn't going to be a long-term thing. And a couple years down the road, he's not going to be the third baseman for this team. But you look at what the Jays have right now, and really he's the only option unless you really want to get creative by moving Semien around. And, I mean, he's looked so good at second base, and he's done so much with the bat. You don't really want to mess with anything that's going on there. And so if you're not going to put him back at second base, then Biggio pretty much has to be your third baseman. And he can do an okay job, but he is the kind of guy who the more he plays there, the more warts you do kind of see. And the arm is certainly questionable over there. It's going to get erratic at times, and he's going to have some issues. But for the most part, he's going to be he should be able to play a relatively solid third base. And it gives the Jays enough for right now until they kind of retool again in the offseason. And then you obviously have guys like Austin Martin and Jordan Groshans in the system who are probably going to take up one of those infield spots in the coming years as well. So I think it's doable for right now. What he really needs to do is just get over his slow start. I mean, he got off to a terrible start in April. I mean, he's still giving you good at bats in terms of like working deep counts and getting walks. But the rest of the production just hasn't been there. So from a Jays perspective, they have to hope that this injury is almost good news in a way, in that it affords him an opportunity for a bit of a fresh start after a bit of a breather.
You just mentioned retooling in the offseason. Is that where you think this is trending right now? The direction is the offseason and it being a massive one for the Jays, and then they kind of put their stamp on this and say, okay, fellas, it's go time? Or do you see anything happening before that? Because they're kind of doing the same thing they did last year. They're hovering around the 500 mark, and then they'll maybe make a push. Maybe they'll fall off, and it's kind of a coin flip right now. How do you see it playing out?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think you're going to see a trade deadline like 2015. It's not really in this front office, I don't think, to go and trade away a bunch of the assets that they've been building up in the minor leagues. It seems like there's something that they're hesitant to do, at least in terms of the top guys. I think what you're going to probably see is more of an approach like it was last year, where they got Robbie Ray and they got Taijuan Walker, and they kind of added those pieces on the periphery a little bit. Like, I'd be stunned if this team ends up making a big run at Max Scherzer or something around July 31st if he ends up becoming available. I think they'd be in on it, but I'd be surprised if when push came to shove that, you know, this front office parts with the assets that it would take to make that kind of move. So, you know, I think you're looking at another offseason like the one that the Jays just had, where they're going to try and spend their money a little bit and buy some from free agency. But, I mean, in terms of this specific season, they still need to make some moves. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they obviously need to address the issues with the rotation. They're going to have to do something with the bullpen that's running on fumes and is running out of men down there. There are some internal options, like in the minor leagues, they could transition some of their starters to the bullpen. They've got some flexibility in the second half to do some of those type of things, but they can't do that if they don't get the starting depth in the first place. And so they're going to need to add at least kind of one big piece to that rotation, if not two, and then deal with the bullpen after that in terms of, you know, how they're going to solve that. Because right now, I mean, the bullpen is by far the biggest weakness. And if this team goes into a slide, that's probably going to be the reason why. I mean, we've seen so many winnable games slip away from the Jays earlier this year. It really was probably more on the offense, but that hasn't been the case since April. I mean, the offense has obviously held up at the end of the bargain recently, and you know the Jays are finding themselves in the middle of a tough schedule against some really good teams, and they've let too many games slip away, mostly because I mean, there's just not too many guys down there right now that Charlie Montoyo can trust. I mean, really, you've got Jordan Romano. Maybe Rafael DeLeese, if you're willing to put up with a heart attack on his way to actually getting the job done. And outside of that, I mean, you really don't have anything, especially since Tyler Chatwood really kind of fell apart there a couple weeks ago.
With Gregor Chisholm, and then you look at the catching position, which I don't believe is solidified either, yet they've got a lot of options. Like, Riley Adams came up this weekend. He played in all three games. You know, he came in the second game as a pinch hitter, then a defensive replacement. But he's a big boy. He's not young. He's 24 years old, but he's still relatively young. So is Jansen. So is Kirk. So is McGuire. I don't see any of them, though, being a guy you believe you can just plug and play for the next 5, 7, 10 years. So how do you see the carousel at the catching position playing out?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I still think Gabriel Moreno in the minor leagues in Double A is going to be the more long-term guy. To me, he's been the one for the last couple of years who the hype has really kind of been building on and is probably more the long-term piece. But overall, it's not really a position that I'm particularly worried about with the Jays. I mean, I think they've got so many guys, they've got so many bodies there that you kind of expect at least one of them is going to pan out. I mean, so many times when we talk about Jays prospects, the big guys, they have to pan out. Otherwise, it's going to mean really bad things for the organization. Behind the plate, because of the number of bodies that they have, they do have some flexibility there. So, I mean, obviously, Danny Jansen hasn't started his career the way he wanted it to. And I mean, the bat that was in the minor leagues just still hasn't translated 4 years into the majors. And he's going to give you some good defense, but you're not getting any offensive production really there at all. And Reese McGuire to me is just a backup and not much more. And so, it's going to be interesting to see like when Kirk eventually comes back. I mean, the bat, there's a lot to like there. Defensively, there's still a lot of question marks as to whether or not he can become a long-term piece. And Riley Adams is someone I've always viewed as more of a depth type guy. I viewed him more as kind of in the Reese McGuire mold, but he's gotten off to a good start. And so, I mean, it's possible that he will, increase his value and show something. But to me, if the Jays are going to make some moves, I mean, that's the position you need to leverage. I mean, when you've got five guys on your 40-man roster, you're not going to get anything from McGuire. But some of the other guys, you can potentially look to make a move there. And whether that's at the deadline or this offseason, to package, one of those guys into another deal, that's a bit bigger to get something in return.
Noticed you on Twitter, you're not necessarily, itching for more George Springer injury updates. I think I'm probably addressing that appropriately. It sounds like you've kind of had enough of Charlie Montoyo trying to convince the world that this guy's a day away from, going on a Cal Ripken streak of, day in, day out play, because it is the same thing every day. He's really close. He's running the bases, and then there's no real update, and he doesn't do anything here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's the daily update of him running the bases and doing some sprints in the outfield, and it seems like it's been going on for about a month. Some of this is how the Jays relay a lot of this information. Like, I know the organization is very hesitant to put timelines on guys because they don't like the disappointment or the pressure that comes with trying to get those players back. If they say someone's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks and it ends up being 5 to 6, they think it looks bad on them. I have a different opinion on it. I think the daily updates that don't say much, kind of leave a bit of stain on the organization anyways. I mean, people have been kind of mocking this George Springer situation for the last couple of weeks because you're right. I mean, it just hasn't changed. But originally when he went down, I mean, I was expecting him to be out about a month. It's been about 5 weeks, so he's a little bit behind schedule, what I originally thought, but he's not that far behind. And it does look as cliche as it sounds over the last updates from the last 2 weeks where it's always close. I mean, it really does sound like he actually is close now. Probably should get out on a rehab assignment within a couple of days and then, probably looking at sometime next week potentially to make his debut. But I certainly could have gone with it the last 2-3 weeks. Of, oh, yeah, he's getting close. He's getting close. He's running the bases. He's doing all that. I mean, it's the same thing.
Running the bases.
I love running the bases. The pom-poms are up for the base one. It's awesome to see.
Ridiculous.
So the Jays are at Fenway for four starting tonight. They're 5.5 back of the Sox, 6.5 back of Tampa. Of those two teams, which one do you think has to be pursued the hardest? In other words, which one do you think has the best chance of actually winning the AL East, or would you include the Yankees in that as well? Who are the Jays chasing atop the American League East in a month, 2 months, 3 months from now?
I mean, I'm surprised at my own answer to this, but I think it's the Rays. And the Rays were the team. Last year I was pretty high in the Rays. I picked them to go all the way to the World Series before the year. I'm typically someone who likes what the Rays organization does across the board in terms of their development. But this year, after losing a couple of starting pitchers, Charlie Morton and Blake Snell, I really actually did think that this was going to be a year where they take a step back, and you just look at the assets that organization has and the way they've been able to play so far this year, and they've done a great job. They've defied the odds again. And another reason why I like them, I mean, similar situation to the Blue Jays, they've had one of the tougher schedules in Major League Baseball so far, and they're going to be in a position in the second half where they can go on a bit of a run when they take advantage of some of the, the lesser opponents. I mean, the Jays as well, they haven't played the Orioles once this year. They're going to hit the soft spot of their schedule here in about another week, and so there's a potential there to go on a bit of a run. But yeah, I just like everything about what the Rays are doing right now. And I mean, the Yankees were my original pick, and I've hung on to that until probably about a couple weeks ago. And I don't think they're going to completely go away, but that organization has more issues than I would have thought going into the year, and they've got to figure out some things on the mound. And they've got some aging veterans in the everyday lineup that, I mean, similar to the Jays, have gotten hurt, and the production just hasn't been there.
Can I ask you about a play last night? And it just, I don't know why, it irritated me. I think one of the biggest elements to being a professional athlete, and Jamie knows this more than anybody because he was a goalie, but just being ready. Like Gurriel Jr., it was the first inning. I believe it was the first inning. And he just turned the wrong way. Like, is he just young and learning? Is he bad at fielding? Because it was just a play that had to be made, and it ultimately cost him. It was a major factor in the game, and he just didn't get it done.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, this is now, like, what, his third year in the outfield? I mean, I know he came up as an infielder, but, you know, he's not that young anymore. He's not that inexperienced anymore. He somehow was nominated for a Gold Glove last year. I have no idea how that actually happened. I mean, that's kind of what they're dealing with in left field right now. I mean, he's got the arm, so I think that's why he got the Gold Glove nomination. But we've seen terrible roots from him time and time again. And so 2 years ago when we saw that, you kind of understand a little bit. The transition's still going on, and you see the room for growth. And now when you look at it, it's a little bit more, okay, this is a bit more of a permanent problem. I mean, we saw Teoscar Hernandez a couple of years ago experience kind of similar issues in left field, and I don't think anyone's expecting him to turn into a Gold Glover. You know, Lourdes Gurriel is in a similar boat. And I think you're right. I think he got caught guessing a little bit last night. He thought it was going to go to the line. He got twisted around. And, I mean, that's been his big issue out there. I mean, he gets terrible reads off the bat, and sometimes he can make up for his speed. But a lot of times he can't, and that, I mean, it continues to be an issue for the Jays, and is only going to become a bigger one the more competitive games that they play in, and especially in tight ball games. You just can't really have some of those mistakes. I mean, I know the White Sox just came off a very sloppy series too. It's not like good teams can't make some of these miscues, but the Jays do seem to have that problem on obviously more than just one spot in the diamond too. And it's something that they need to clean up. But at the same time, there's not a whole lot you can do right now because he's your starting left fielder. That's not going to change this year. This is just going to be something that they're going to have to live with.
Always appreciate the time, Gregor. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Here's Gregor Chisholm of the Toronto Star.